Today we have another rich banquet, rich liturgical banquet, the great reading of the two miracles that we hear about in the gospel. We have a story about the grieving King David, who gives us an insight into how a father loves his son, how God loves us. And then, as a kind of bonus, we have today's saint, Saint Blaise, and the special and unusual devotion to him, the blessing of the throats. As I said, the blessing of the throats will take place after the prayers of the faithful. Well, let's start with the gospel. It's a great gospel because it's two miracles intertwined, and both of them point to the importance of faith. Faith is essential. Faith is what opens up the space for God to work. From God's perspective, he's always ready to help. He's always revealing his love. His power is at hand for us. But on our side, we're not always attentive or ready or open. But in these two people's lives, Jairus for one and his daughter, and then the woman with the hemorrhages, there was faith. Now, when Jesus works miracles, he's doing several things at once. But one of the things he's doing is he's acknowledging that there's space in which he can work. He often says this: your faith has cured you, your faith has saved you. And I always call that a shortcut. It's not that their faith has saved them. He's the one who saved them. But he's able to do it because of faith. So that's why he always says that: your faith has saved you. So one of the things he's doing is he's acknowledging that there's faith in the hearts of the people who receive the blessing. But another thing he's doing is he's moving people to faith, or to greater faith. And you see both of these happening in both of these recipients of the blessings. In the case of Jairus, his daughter is very sick. He has enough faith to request a cure. That's faith. He knows that Jesus has power to heal. Please come, lay your hands on her, then she will get well. And you can heal her. Please do so. Jesus is on his way there. Before he gets there, the child dies, which just seems to everybody like, well, there's no sense bothering the teacher anymore. He might be a great healer, but the child's not sick anymore. She's dead. Jesus' surprising response to this is, do not be afraid, just have faith. That's this emphasis on faith that we see in this gospel. Just have faith. Keep open a space for God to do what he wants to do. And to his credit, Jairus, he doesn't say anything, but he at least allows Jesus to come to the house. And we know what happens there. Everybody there is mourning because the child is dead. What a tragedy when a 12-year-old dies. A child. Naturally, they're mourning. Jesus, again, moving people to have greater faith, moving people to have an understanding that death is not the end of God's plan for people, that life is what God has in mind. He says, well, this child is not dead, but asleep. The child was dead. But death to God is merely sleep. Death to God is a transition to more life. So that's how Jesus looks at it. And he goes over and takes the child by the hand and says, okay, get up now. That's all. It's so easy. Get up, little girl. Get up. Have something to eat. It's so simple. From God's perspective, that's how it is. But we don't see it that way. That's why we need faith. We need not fear, but faith. Faith opens the space for God to work. We don't know what God will do and when he will do it, how he will do it. Yes, we don't know. But if we have faith, we know he is a life giver. He loves, he's merciful, he's life giver. You might remember in the Beatitudes we studied on Sunday, the last of the Beatitudes was, blessed are you who are persecuted. Your reward will be great in heaven. Now, when we're persecuted or undergoing any kind of suffering or suffering any loss, it seems like we don't get any reward, and God is not, God is punishing us. That's not correct. God has a reward for us, but we have to make a space to be able to receive that reward. Even if that space is not filled until the next life, your reward will be great in heaven. It will be filled. So that's the reward of faith. Well, in between the sickness of the child and the death of the child, along comes this woman with hemorrhages, 12 years. The whole lifetime of the little girl, this woman is bleeding, which means she was ritually unclean. She had to avoid people. She couldn't be touched. She couldn't touch anything. She couldn't go to the synagogue. She was almost the equivalent of a leper, although her illness wouldn't have been as obvious as leprosy, but she's an unclean woman. She has heard about Jesus. So it doesn't say that she heard him or saw him do any miracles. She heard about him, and she believes that he can cure her. In fact, she has such faith that he doesn't even have to do anything. All she has to do is touch his clothing. If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured. That's faith. That's an opening to the power of God, that God's power can flow even through the clothing of Jesus. And it's true, it works. Now, Jesus wants her to know him, and he wants to know her, so he doesn't allow the encounter to remain just at touching of clothing. It's too impersonal. He wants to see her face to face, and he wants her to see him face to face. She's been living 12 years in isolation and banishment and uncleanness. She doesn't only need a cure of her hemorrhage, she needs a social restoration. She needs to have to see people smile at her and welcome her, and that's what Jesus does. Go in peace, he says. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction. She's already cured of the hemorrhage. Now she can be cured of the whole package of uncleanness. Well, this touch of the woman to Jesus' clothing, it can give us an insight into why we use candles at the blessing of the throats. Now, this is Feast of St. Blaise, and St. Blaise is the patron of those who have diseases or illnesses of the throat. Fine. We turn to lots of saints for special intercessions. These things arise out of the experience of people who have asked the intercession of the saints, and they receive the favor. So this is no superstition. This is the result of a long-standing effective tradition. If it never worked, nobody would do it. Those things don't come out of nowhere. They come out of genuine experiences of healing, starting with Blaise's own healing of a child who had a disease of the throat. Now, why the candles? I'm not sure how the candles got into it. I assume it's connected to the blessing of the candles on February 2nd. His feast day is on February 3rd, so there's blessed candles everywhere. I don't know. But the point is, God uses physical things. God uses candles, he uses oil, he uses water, he uses human touch, he uses blessed objects, medals, rosaries, all kinds of sacramentals, so that we can experience contact with him. So it's an expression of faith to use sacramentals. The candles are not magic candles, it's just candles. They're blessed candles, but they're not the ones who cure us. In fact, Blaise is not the one who cures us. God is the one who cures us. But God opens ways for us to have contact with him, just like the clothing of Jesus was a contact point. What's the big deal about Jesus' clothing? It's just another garment like anybody else's, yes. But God uses ordinary things, which he has chosen and blessed, as means by which his grace can flow. So that's what we're doing with the blessing of the throats, very much like the woman with the hemorrhage touching the cloak of Jesus. Now, she could have prayed, "Lord, heal me," without touching his cloak. It probably would have worked. But it's a sign to us. God uses physical things. We know this very well from the sacraments. The sacraments are physical signs. Physical signs that God uses to bestow invisible grace. How, we can't see grace, we don't know how it works, but God gives us a way, a human way, to know it. So that's what the candles are about. Now, when we're talking about faith, the faith of Jairus, the faith of the woman, our faith when we ask for healings through the intercession of the saints, we should recall that our faith is not simply a human act, something that we muster up or we decide is going to work. It's not a power of positive thinking trick. It's confidence in God. Where does that come from? It comes from God's love for us, which he reveals to us. We don't make up faith, we receive it. And when we welcome it, then it grows in us. Now, the reason I stress this is because I think today's first reading can give us an insight into why we have faith. Why do we have faith? Because God loves us. Why does God love us? Because that's who he is. He's our Father who loves his children. In today's first reading, we see David grieving the death of his son Absalom. If we didn't know anything about the backstory, if we didn't know anything about the context, we would say, well, that's what a father would experience when his son dies. That's what Jairus experienced when his daughter died. And that's the way parents suffer when their children die. I mean, that's the love of a parent. And that gives us an insight into the love of God for us. He loves us because he's a father, not because of anything we did or didn't do, good or bad, but because that's what a father does. A good father loves his children. But when we look at the whole story, we realize that this love is greater than we realize, because Absalom is not a good son. Absalom is a rebellious son. Absalom has actually taken over the kingdom. He has usurped his father. In fact, he took his father's harem, which was a very blatant way of saying, I'm taking your throne, I'm taking your position, I'm taking your power and every privilege. Now this, remember, last week, this was told to David because of his sin with Bathsheba. He said, you know, you did this sin in secret, but the one who's going to overthrow you will do this in broad daylight, take your wives. Anyway, so Absalom has mounted a rebellion against David, and there's a war between David's army and Absalom's army. So this Absalom, yes, he's the son of David, but he's also the enemy of David. He's the rebel against David. Naturally, David's army thinks that the best thing to do is destroy Absalom, even though David himself said, no, don't kill my son, don't kill my son. They did it anyway. And David's reaction is deep grief. Now, this is why this is important for us. Now, David was not a perfect father, and his relationship with Absalom had a lot of problems. David had problem children, and he didn't always attend to them properly. He didn't correct them when they needed correction. You know, Absalom's problem was that his half-brother raped his sister, and so he had him killed, and so that's why he was isolated by David, because he killed his brother, and there's a big dysfunctional family story there. So David wasn't a perfect father, but when it comes down to it, when it comes down to the root of his relationship with his sons, he loves them. And listen to what he says here. My son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. If only I had died instead of you. You recognize that kind of love? Greater love no man has than to lay down his life for his friend. The love that is so strong, intense, that it would rather suffer than see the loved one suffer. That's why this is a revelation of the love of God. David is not God. He's a very imperfect man. But in this glimpse of his heart, we see a reflection of the heart of God. Because what is God's love? He's willing to die instead of us. He would rather die than have us die. Now, God can't die. He's eternal. He couldn't die. And that's why he took on a human nature, in order to die instead of us, so that we would live. This is the beauty of this passage. This is in all the dysfunction and disorder in David's life, here we see a beautiful glimpse of the heart of God, God the Father, for us. And it's because of that love that we can turn to him in faith. We can have confidence in him. We don't know how he will help us or how he will lay down his life for us, but we know it's true because we can be absolutely sure of God's love for us. He would rather die than have us die. And that makes it possible for us to have very strong, confident faith.